This is a brand new series we have called Greatness. And we're calling it Greatness because I believe that every person on the face of the planet wants to live a life that's great. Whether it's to be in front of the limelight or behind the scenes, I believe that us as humans were built in with something in our spirits that wants to live for more than what we see in front of us. How many would say in this room that you feel like God is calling you to do something greater than where you are right now? Yeah, I feel that too. We all have this sense where our Creator put things inside of us. So as soon as you were born, that life and purpose and essence of who you are and the plans for your life all of a sudden started taking place. And from moment one, you have this natural instinct to go towards what the Creator called you to. So I want to talk to God gave us this series of just diving into what does it look like to be great, not in the world's thought of it, but how do we live a life that means something? How do we live a life that has meaning? We celebrated my grandma. She passed away and went to be with the Lord, and we were with our funeral. I left being so filled up by hearing her life's journey and how she loved the Lord and the legacy that she lived. And I said to myself, I left there and I said, I want to live a life like that to where when I go, I leave something behind. I want to live a life worthy of honor. I want to live a life that's great. I don't want to just make it through my day. I don't just want to get to the end of my year and say, well, we survived the year. I want to say, look at what the Lord did in our lives and look at what the Lord did through our lives. How many can say that's you? So I want to dive into what does it look like to be great? Greatness. And today, we've entitled today, Choosing Well. Choosing Well. Now, if you don't have the Change Church app, you can download that. We'll have the QR code up here. Yeah, you can download that. And in there, there's a tab called Bible App. And the Bible App tab just has the notes for today. So it's an easy way to follow along, get the scriptures and all that. Let's dive in. Today, we call it choosing well. I believe that we all have the power of choice. That's what's beautiful about being human, is we all have the power to choose. We choose where we want to live. We choose where we want to work. We choose where we want to go to church, you know? We choose things in our life. We choose relationships. We choose all these things that build who we are. And the beautiful thing about following the Lord is we have freedom of choice. When we come to Him, He gives us free will to do as we please. Now, the caveat of that is that we can use our choices and take ourselves out of the perfect will of God for our life. So I want to talk today about the power of your choice. Because I believe that when you choose well, and that's why I call it choosing well, when you choose well, you can align yourself with what God wants to do in and through your life. And I believe that there's a perfect plan, a perfect will for your life. In fact, just the fact that you're hearing this message today, I believe that God has divinely destined you to be in this room to hear what I'm about to say. I believe that he has a story in mind for you. He has a plan laid out. In fact, the Bible said he knit us together and planned our days in advance. And so the Lord has a perfect plan for you. But the beautiful thing you have to know first is that you do have a choice. The choice is yours. And that a lot of us, we are living in the middle of choices that we've made all of our lives. And some of us, we're even living off choices that our parents made. And we have to navigate our own way with the choices that we're going to make moving forward. But choices define where you are currently. And choices will define where you are tomorrow. Every choice we make brings us closer to the destination that you're headed towards. Choices are important. Very important. I want to look at a story in the Bible. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. It's a story of Martha and Mary. And the only gospel that reflects on this and writes it down is Luke. Luke, the great physician. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we find Jesus and his disciples on their way somewhere. Jesus was always on the move. And I believe that he's still on the move today. And he was always on the move. And it says in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where the woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted. Come on, somebody say distracted. I feel that sometimes in my life, that I can get distracted. How many can feel that? And you're on mission, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden you can find yourself distracted. And Martha finds herself distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, the Lord, and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Such a sibling, right? That's something I could hear myself saying to my mom back in the day. Like, come on, can't you see that my brother and sister are helping me in the chore that I'm supposed to be doing? That's Anae. She's a delegator. Anae, our daughter, she's 11 years old, but she acts like she's 33. And whenever we give her a task, we're like, hey, Anae, would you do the dishes? She's like, hey, Zion. We're like, no, we asked you to do the dishes. We know you're a leader and a delegator, but this time it's you. You're going to do the dishes. It's a great skill to have, and you're going to go far in life, but at this moment right here, you're 11, and you're going to do the dishes yourself. But she says to the Lord, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. First thing I want to realize about the story is that Martha invited Jesus into her home. And I see this throughout Scripture, is that Jesus was always on the move, but he always stopped for those who welcomed him in. And time again, you can see with the blind men that called out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Won't you heal me? Lazarus goes up in a tree to see Jesus, and Jesus stops and notices him. Him and his disciples are on the way, and Martha opens up her home and says, come on in. What I love about Jesus is that he's always willing to come in to whatever you got going on in your story. And this is such a good news. This is such good news for all of us, because all of us have seasons where we're up, we're down. We're doing great, and then we're struggling. We on top of the mountain, and then, man, we in the valley, and we in the weeds in the valley. I mean, it's just not the valley. We're in the mud and the weeds in the valley. And I love it that Jesus never looks at the weeds. He comes into where we welcome him to. And here we find Martha distracted by all the preparations. She wasn't even in the mindset of, let's bring Jesus in so I can get close to him. She was just like, Jesus, come on in. I got to keep working, but you can come on in. How many ever feel like you just invite Jesus into your plans? I'm so guilty of this. I'm so guilty of this. I pray prayers like, Lord, won't you bless what I'm doing? Won't you bless what I planned? Won't you bless what we strategized? Lord, we had a strategy meeting. It's real good. Bless it. Lord, this is the timeline that I think that you should move in a miracle. If you would just do it by the end of May, that would be great. And that's actually the perfect plan. So, Lord, move on my plans. How many are guilty of that? Come on. Lord, move on my plans. And Martha welcomed him into the home, but yet she was still distracted by so much. And I read this story and I thought, how many of us are like that? When we invite Jesus into our home, we say, Lord, come into our life. Lord, do a work in us. Come on in. We want your presence in, but I don't know if we have as much time to sit with him and to listen to him. And sometimes we invite Jesus into the home, but we're caught up in our own agenda. And I want to ask today, what have you been distracted by that might be keeping you from hearing what the Lord is trying to speak over you? Here we find two sisters in the same room with the one who created everything. The one who could speak life, who was performing many miracles, walked on water, calmed the waves with his tongue. I mean, that's crazy. He spoke and the waves listened to him like he was their daddy. Like crazy stuff. And yet two sisters in the same presence of the Lord. And yet one was plugged into what he was saying. One was distracted by things that she thought were so important. I want to ask you today, what is that thing that you're distracted by? And it might not even be a bad thing. Sometimes we hear these things in church, we're like, oh, my sin, or something that's way. It might be the Lord's work that you're distracted by. Can we talk real for a sec? You might even be distracted by doing the Lord's work. And Lord, I'm doing exactly what I know to do because the Bible tells me so. And yet, well, you have to realize that Jesus is not only always moving, but he's always speaking. I'm going through puberty right now, it sounds like. Jesus is not only moving all the time, he's speaking all the time. There's a fresh word always in the air. There's a fresh word over your life. There's a fresh word over your season. There's a fresh word over your decisions. There's a fresh word always happening. And so when we get distracted by the works that the Lord spoke in yesteryears, we miss out on what he wants to speak over today and the future years. When we get so caught up in, Lord, I know this is what I was supposed to do to prepare for you. I know this is what I need to do in order to get things done. And so it might not even be a bad thing, but sometimes if we don't plug into what the Lord is speaking, if we don't lean in to say, Lord, what are you speaking over today? What are you speaking over my things I got concerned with right now? Then we can miss out on what the Lord wants to say over us. And Martha, she comes to Jesus and tattles on her sister. She's like, come on, can't you see? I am busy. Busy, busy. I got things going on. And Jesus points out that actually the things that she's so caught up in are the things that really don't matter. I was so, I guess challenged is the right word, but so challenged by this to say, Lord, help me not get distracted by things that don't matter in your eyes. They might matter in my eyes. They might even matter in people around me. Look and say, yeah, that's good. You should keep doing that. But Lord, if it doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't matter. If it's not what you're speaking over, because if you believe in the Word of God says that his word alone prevails. Many are plans in a man's heart. We can come up with many plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so what we have to realize is that if it's not his purpose, it doesn't matter. Oh, man, that'll preach today. Because this is where I get so challenged because I'm like, Lord, help me never close my ears to what you actually are doing. Help me not get so caught up in building your church and doing what I know to do because I went to school for it. Or going because I'm fifth generation preacher. So God, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Help me never get so closed ear that I miss out on actually what you're speaking over and saying, I'm blessing that. You better get involved in it. Lord, I'm doing that in that community. You better serve and love that area. In fact, that's one of the reasons that when we came into the city, the first year we didn't pop up church. We just served and listened. Because we said to ourselves, we don't want to just come in with our agenda. We want to know, what does the Lord want to do in this place? What is the need? What's happening here? What is the Spirit blessing? What's the Spirit want to do in this place? Even when we came into this new community, we moved from Punchline Comedy Club on the water to here in this area. And so when we moved here, we prayed over this as a team. We marked the walls with scriptures. We prayed over and we said, Lord, what do you want to do here? And I want to challenge everybody in this room. Because you're in a season right now where the Lord wants to speak over what you're doing currently. And he wants to speak, I have something that I want to bless, put my hand upon. In fact, you find all through Moses, when he led the people in the wilderness, he literally was leading like this. Everywhere he went, set up a tent of meeting and met with the Lord. All right, Lord, what are we doing? I got 3 million people I'm leading. But he wasn't going, all right, what looks like a good place? What he was leading like this. What are you doing, Lord? Where are you going? In fact, the Bible says that when the Lord led him, he led with a cloud, with a pillar of fire, man. Sometimes we get so caught up with looking horizontal. Is that right, horizontal? That we miss out on looking vertical where actually the Lord is leading us. And you get so caught up in saying, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? What do you think? And that's not bad to have community and to bounce things off each other. But let me tell you, it has to start foundationally with what the Lord has spoken over you. I heard something really good this week when I think it was Irv McManus, he said, and when someone prophesies over you, the Lord will never speak over you what he already has spoken to you. He'll never speak over you from someone else that he hasn't already put inside of you. Man, I thought that was so good because I'm like, it's so true. Because the Lord speaks to us individually. And then he confirms it by others. There's people that have come to me and prophesied over me. I'm like, yo, that's right on, man. But there's other people that have prophesied. I'm like, no, I don't get that at all. I'm sorry. That's not allowed in here because the Lord hasn't spoken over me. And I believe that when we get vertical with our eyes and vertical with our ears and we start listening and tuning into him, then we can confirm what the Lord is doing in our midst with those around us. Then you can confirm, yeah, that's good. You can encourage one another with it, but it has to come from the Lord first. So my question, I wrote this in your notes, what are the margins you need to create or take advantage of in order to hear the Lord more clearly and intentionally? We all have margins. I found this out because I thought probably 9 months ago now, I thought I didn't have enough time to work out. And I was convinced of it. If you had asked me, Elijah, you know, when are you going to start working out? I said, when I get time. I ain't got time right now. I can't fit it in. And I tried so many ways to fit this thing in. And then we find willpower. And we went to willpower. We made a commitment. And I was like, all right. I have margin. Everybody's got margin. It's somewhere in your life, but you have margin. I was like, I got this margin that I can place it into and fit it in. And now for 9 months, I work out. I go to the gym. And it sounds so funny, but like we can fit in our margin what we want to and what is important to us. In fact, even in, we had a panel up here and we were talking about health and nutrition for the teachers in the teacher dinner. It's beautiful. I think Lorenza said it, but she said, it's the small steps into what we actually want to accomplish that get us where we want to go. But it starts with the small steps. It's the small things that we put in place. Say, you know what? I want to be close to the Lord. Let's look at my life. Let's look at the margin. I need to make a commitment to say, this is where I'm going to place my time with God so I can hear him more. Some of you in your life, you're like, I want to read the word more. All right. It's time to dedicate some margin. You got to look and find, where's that margin? You know what I found? I got a lot of driving time margin. I got a lot of driving time that I just sit and I'm like, you know what? This is a waste of time just sitting here in silence. I need to fill it with something good. And so I'll call somebody, encourage them. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll listen to the word of God. And we can fill our margin with what matters so that we can hear what the Lord has to say. How many know it's so important to hear God first? So this is something we got to get in place. This isn't like if you get to it someday. Folks, this is it. this is the whole foundation of your Christian walk is to hear him more. Man, it's not to go to church more. It's not to read your Bible more. Those are all good things. But if you don't hear him, it all doesn't even make sense. It all doesn't matter. That's what he told Martha. He said, all that preparation you're doing for me, it doesn't matter unless you're sitting listening to me. Because once you hear me, then it all comes together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what's your margin? Where is it? Find it. Plug it in. Here's another good question the Holy Spirit asked me. He said, what word is leading your actions? In other words, where are your orders coming from? Think about that. You get up in your day and you do your thing. Do your routines, you do your life, you do your habits, you do all the things. Well, where are your orders coming from? What leads your life? What's directing you? That's a huge question we need to ask ourselves because it can be personal goals, it can be a happenstance of like, oh, I don't know, just whatever happens, I'll just go with it. Be emotionally driven, like I feel good today, so I'm gonna go after it. And whatever it is. But we need to know that. When the Lord leads it, it's intentional, and it leads us somewhere. But it's getting the important things. And I love how Jesus addresses Martha because he addresses her not to call her out or rebuke her, but to guide her towards the more important things in life. And today, I hope this is an encouragement to you, not to condemn you and to be like, oh, I really don't listen to God, and I should do that more and feel so convicted when you leave here. No, I hope this is an encouragement to say, there are better things you need to be tuned in and listen to because God has big plans for you. And you can feel busy and feel like you're going nowhere, or you can plug into God and know that you're on His word and you're accomplishing what He's called you to accomplish. And let me tell you, in this drive towards what God is doing, there are seasons you feel like it's not going very far. But me and Ashley, we even said this in the car when she was talking about our conversation. It's like when you know what the Lord has called you to, when you're confirmed in that, even the seasons that feel like detours don't get you off whack. Because you know you're headed somewhere. And it might take a little extra time, but you know where you're going. This is what I'm so grateful for, is that I married a wife that loves the Lord and keeps her eyes on Him. So when we pray together. I don't pray in my closet and come and say, all right, Ashley, here's what we're doing. I mean, there are a lot of times I'll come and say, all right, this is what the Lord's speaking. And she'll be like, all right, let's pray over that. Let's pray over that. Let's see if that's what the Lord wants us to do. Because we know that if the Lord speaks it, then we're going to go there. It might take some time. We might be in the wilderness for a little while, but that's okay because we're headed somewhere. And I want to encourage somebody today. You might feel like you're detoured all over the place, but man, you get in the word of God. You listen to Him. You plug in. It might take you a long time to get there, but you're headed somewhere. God's got something for you. He doesn't want you just vacuuming in the background. He wants you tuned in, leaned in, and plugged in so He can speak over you and say, listen, my child, I got plans for you. I got plans for you. We were at a wedding some time ago. And, you know, at weddings, people all fly in and travel in. And it was in Pennsylvania, but people had come from out of town. And they were talking about going to see Philly. And I don't know if you laugh at this. I laugh at it now. I didn't laugh at it before, but now I've been in the city for a while. So I feel Philadelphian. So I laugh at this, but like they were sitting at the table and they're like, yeah, we're so excited about seeing Philly. Some people told us we have to go try Geno's and Pat's. I don't know if your reaction was like mine, but I was like, you didn't get that information from a local. It matters who you're listening to, because there's so much to Philly you need to see. Yet you heard your information from someone else, and nothing against Pat's and Geno's, love them to death. But that's not something I would tell somebody. If you're coming to Philly, listen, you have got to. Gotta try it. There's so much more to Philadelphia, but it matters who you're listening to. And I wonder if some of us have listened to other voices and are caught up in things that we think are important, but man, it is so off track from what the Lord actually wants to bring sustenance and value to our lives. And He's like, yeah, you're settling for it. Yeah, what everybody else thinks. I want to take you into the local secret things of the Lord. Woo! I want to take you past just what you see on Instagram. I want to take you past just what everybody else is talking about. I want to take you to the inner courts. I want to take you to my secret place and speak things over your life that no other person knows. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear what no one else can speak to me but Him. Woo! And I want to encourage you, get in His presence. I've had it happen many times where I will be with Him and it'll be days and I'm just like, I'm just sowing the seed, if you would. I'm just in His presence because I know that's where I need to hear Him. And then all of a sudden, the moment will happen and the Lord will inspire something. The Lord will have something jump out of the page. The Lord will speak something in my spirit. So I want to encourage someone in the room. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't have those moments. I want to encourage you, stay in the margin. Stay in it. Stay in it. It's those that are devoted to the Lord. In fact, what does the Bible say? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who are pure in heart. Those who stay with Him in that place. It matters who we're listening to. And one more thing I want to point out is that when Jesus was talking to Martha, it wasn't about inaction. It was about purpose-filled action. I don't believe that the Lord is calling us to be inactive and just to sit and wait on Him all our lives. I don't. But I believe by studying the scriptures and seeing what He did with His disciples, is that they would have times to sit and listen and engulf what he had to say, and then they would move on what he said. This is how we live our life as Christians. We wait, we listen, we hear, we move. Once we're confirmed in the word, then we move on that word. Once we hear what he has to say, then we move. And this is where the power of choice comes in, because we choose to listen. And when we choose to listen, he speaks so well over our lives. And when he speaks, then we're confirmed. We say, okay, now we can go after what God has called us to do. We have to go from, and this is what I'm guilty of, we have to go from performing for Jesus to working with Jesus. We can't perform for Jesus our entire lives. Say, Lord, look what I'm doing. I'm really working hard. When you start to lean in and listen to him, you start working with him. And those of you in this room, the Lord wants to work with you. He doesn't want you just to go out on your own and perform and then come back and he's like, I give that about a 7.5. I don't know. How's that? Right. No, Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to go with you into building that business. He wants to go with you into helping those kids. He wants to go with you into being in that environment that God has called you to. He doesn't want to just say, all right, go ahead, do your thing, and you're on your own. No, the Lord wants to be with you, speaking over you, saying, yes, that's it. Keep going. That's why I told his disciples, don't go until you get the Holy Spirit, because I want to be with you. I don't want to just send you. I want to be with you. I want to be on it. I want to be in the midst. We have to choose him. I love what James says. James chapter 1 verse 16 says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We have to realize that all good things come from the Lord. And when we're leaned into him, he gives us that direction. I want to close with this. So worship team comes. John chapter 1, verse 3. As we realize that through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. To him was life, or in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When you realize this, you realize where your help comes from, and you realize that all things in your life are through him. That nothing we do today or tomorrow, nothing we plan on in the future, nothing this church is going to accomplish together in this community hasn't already yet been made through him. Like, it's all going through Jesus' filter. It's all going through the purification of the Father. And so what we have to realize is when we plan our lives and we go after him, we have to know him. We have to have his stamp on us. And when that happens, everything that comes out of our life is made through him. So you're plugged into Jesus and you know him and you're hearing his voice. And then he speaks something over you and you work in his presence. And then in that existence, we know that everything is made through him.